Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You know what that music means. What up? What's happening? It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham coming right at you here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app, taking you up to 4 o'clock, sitting in for the caged animal himself, Chris Russell, getting an early start to the weekend. Mad Max behind the glass, taking your calls at 301-230-0980. We got a lot to get to. There is a top 10 quarterback list that is floating around in the ether. And, of course, I have thoughts about it. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA Finals last night. All of you, I wish Chris Russell was sitting across from me right now. Because, Max, I know you and him have spent so much time. Your hockey's been great. I'll give that to you.
Hockey was great.
The hockey's been great. But so has these NBA Finals. So we'll talk about all of it as we move throughout the show. No guests, just me and you at 301-230-0980. A lot to get to. I wanted to start off with the Washington Nationals, though. Yesterday, breaking and snapping that 11-game losing streak, just when it felt like you had hit rock bottom, you get a little bit of a saving grace yesterday. James Wood, first career walk-off homer. He homered twice yesterday and showed why he is probably going to end up being the greatest hitter that this organization has ever seen. He is off to a tacky hot start right now. When you're in the 20 home run club at this point in the season, it means you're swinging the wood well. Papa Wood is what I call him now. I hope you all were able to cash in on 50% off of Papa John's Pizza yesterday, courtesy of one James Wood. Can I ask you this, Mad Max? Because he hit two yesterday, should you get a pie for free? I'm just trying to come up with sponsorship opportunities here.
Listen, I got a free pizza from courtesy of the Washington Capitals, and I still haven't used it yet. I would love a second, Linnell. I would love a second pizza.
It seems like something that maybe we could make a call. Our people could call their people. But no, the Nats, if you have not been paying attention, if you've been sleepwalking through the first 70-plus games of this season for this bunch, it has been a struggle. Yesterday, they snapped, like I mentioned, an 11-game losing streak. And after that Ken Rosenthal piece came out, there was this surge that they had organizationally. And they were able to string together some wins. Everyone was looking good. But it feels like here in the last week or so, things have really hit rock bottom. The comments from Davey Martinez post-game talking about it's not the coaches. Well, shout out to the coaches yesterday. How much were they involved with James Wood hitting a walk-off homer? It's saving this organization from utter embarrassment. Because if you would have got swept by the Miami Marlins and the Colorado Rockies in back-to-back series, what nice things could I possibly have to say about you? Why would it matter?
Fold the franchise type?
Pack them up.
Send them to Montreal. Bring them back.
I mean, seriously. So it was fitting that it was James Wood that got them off the schneid. Max, I don't know if you got it for me, but it was one of my favorite calls.
I mean, yeah, it was a great call from Dave. Here, let's hear it.
Tremendous call from Dave. Let's hear it.
Down to their final out. Adams leads off third. 1-0 pitch to Wood. Swinging a high fly ball, center field, deep. Back goes Hilliard to the warning track at the wall. It's gone! James Wood does it! The long nightmare is over! Nets win it 4-3. He puts it on the batter's eye hill with a soaring, towering home run to straightaway center field. They're mobbing James Wood as he crosses the plate. His first career walk-off homer, his second homer of the day in dramatic fashion off a splitter. What a moment for James Wood and the Nationals. A much-needed sigh of relief. They have won a ball game.
Yeah.
Let me just say.
Yeah.
We got to rename, and Toby has already mentioned this. I called it Stolen Valor. He pulled the receipts on me from a Bustin' Loose Baseball episode. But we got to rename the center field, like, the woodshed. We need to.
Thank you. I mean, just give me something sensical, Max. That's it. I don't ask to get too complicated. That makes sense. Incorporate the beautiful last name that he has. Incorporate the fact that he does nothing but go yard every game, every other game. He has been a spectacle to watch this year. He's going to be in Atlanta at the All-Star game, along with Mackenzie Gore, probably along with C.J. Abrams. I mean, there have been bright spots to this year, but it all comes back to when they're losing like this, Max, when they're already 9.5 games back of the final wild card spot, as we're about a month out from the trade deadline, you worry about the future. Because this year doesn't matter. They're not going to the postseason. We know that, most likely. You begin to worry about the future, and it gets me thinking, how active will this group be at the trade deadline with veterans that have come in here and actually done some good things? And I'm talking about one guy in particular. Do they move Nathaniel Lowe? Do they solve the problem, or not even the problem, the logjam that they're going to seemingly have in the outfield with guys like Dalen Lyle coming through and showing that he's a good prospect, as well as Jacob Young and Alex Call? Jacob Young and Alex Call are the guys that I expect. If they're going to move anybody in the outfield, I feel like it's those two.
Yeah, it's definitely, if it gives hot seat vibes for Jacob Young, because, I mean, getting balloon or bounced back and forth between here and the minors, the injury thing, like, yeah, it's definitely, he feels like Wally Pipp a little bit.
Yeah. Ball hasn't bounced well for him this year is what I will say, and it's a credit to a guy like Dalen Lyle coming in, seizing his opportunity. Robert Hassel, who is, you know, hurt right now but was struggling before, guys getting their opportunity and making the most of it. It's a good problem to have, but like I said, Mike Rizzo will be able to hopefully work the phones here and make something happen here at the deadline, because I don't know if fans out there want them to stay put or what, but at some point, you have to understand that this season's probably over. You chalk up your losses and you try to add resources and shut up the narrative that you can't draft, develop, and retain talent. Go out and get somebody else's guys from their farm system.
And the key word to that was retain talent.
Retain.
Because, man, oh, man, it's been bad the past couple years.
That's the big thing. Good thing they won yesterday, because you got a series.
Thank goodness.
This West Coast road trip is going to be brutal. Three against the Dodgers, three against the Padres, then you wrap it up with three against the Angels. If you would have lost that one, there's a chance you were on a 21-game losing streak.
Yeah, it could have been history, which not history you want to be a part of.
Could have gotten very nasty. Max, I'm going to effort to send this to you real quick. Davey Martinez yesterday at the podium showing emotion that, Max, I know you're somebody that follows this thing close like I do. He's a guy that's even keel. He's the same guy every day. That's one thing that's, you know, super respectable about him, despite the results and the win-loss record this year. Yesterday at the podium, he was as emotional as I've ever seen. It felt like we were cutting onions post-game. And I give him credit, because this is tough to be going through a losing streak like that, to be a guy that's all of a sudden receiving scrutiny because he got out of character last week. Let's call it what it is, right? I don't want to run away from it at all. He got out of character with the comments that he made post-game that you all have heard and have made the rounds on this station and others. I mean, it was out of character for Davey Martinez. If we got it ready, Max, Davey Martinez post-game after snapping the 11-game losing streak.
I love this game. I love this team. I love the city. I love the fans. We're going to go through some moments, but adversity makes the team stronger. And takes a lot to get me down, as you guys know. I'm not down at them at all. Never been. And we're going to come back and we're going to do some special things.
Stevie Martinez post-game. You hear it. I mean, in his voice. I mean, I wasn't joking when I said onions were being cut. He's emotional. I respect the hell out of it. I mean, he cares. He is as passionate as they come, and say what you want about him. He's given it his all. It just may not be good enough, and that's the question that I know a lot of Nats fans have had here as of late. Is he the right guy moving forward? You think about what 2019 was and what that roster was comprised of compared to this one. This roster, this franchise right now to me needs someone that majors in development, player development, getting guys better. That's what matters. So ownership can't have any excuses to not go out and spend money. Right now, if I'm ownership, I'm looking at this group and saying, why would I invest my money in this? Why would I put my money into this? Why would I spend like we are an actual contender when we can't even do the basics? And I consider that to be the first rule of thumb with any organization in any pro sport. You have to be able to grow and develop your own talent because of the rules and restrictions of CBAs and things like that. And baseball plays by their own rules anyway, so it doesn't really matter for this sport, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. We know what the book is on this organization. Something's got to happen ultimately to change it. And if that's – I'm not, for baseball, I would say, I'm not a guy that I guess is all in for in-season changes when it comes to a manager. I don't think that's the appropriate way to go right now for this group. I think Mike Rizzo said it the other day on the Junks. Let's evaluate this thing at season's end. Let's evaluate it at season's end. And then we'll see where we go from here. My money is on Davey Martinez being an asset to another franchise moving forward. We got a lot to get to here on the Chris Russell Show. Taking your calls at 301-230-0980. Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. A lot more to get to. We're getting to the Washington Wizards. I actually broke some news on the old Wiz Kids over the Juneteenth holiday. We'll get to that. But when we come back, we get right into the burgundy and gold. Not a lot floating around in the ether during this time of year. It's kind of the dog days of summer as we get geared up for training camp. There is a top 10 quarterback list from a pretty prominent NFL analyst that omits the king of this city. We'll get to that next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on the Chris Russell Show. Youngest of Charles and O. Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell as we take you up to 4 o'clock. We'll hand things over to Craig Hoffman at that point. You can keep the conversation going on social media with me at NELL_BTP. A lot to get to. We'll talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards. The NBA draft is next week. And I heard from a birdie. That tradition will continue. We'll be live out on the concourse at Cap One Arena. Fingers crossed. Haven't gotten 100% confirmation on that, so maybe I shouldn't have said it. But conversations have been had. So always a fun time doing that. You never know who is going to stop by the program when that's happening. Last year, Aaliyah Edwards stopping by and addressing me about a little bit of a rumor, not a rumor, a little bit of a bold comment that I had about the first round pick that the Mystics did not make, and to be able to address that with her live on the air, it's what you get. It's why you tune in, man. But I wanted to get into this list that has gone viral from one of my guys, honestly, a guy whose work I read a lot. I think he's super tapped in to the National Football League and, you know, what people are thinking. So I think this list that we have here, first of all, the context of it, it's a top 10 quarterback list. For those of you that haven't seen it, it's from Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports, one of the, you know, longtime NFL, you know, reporters and insiders in this thing, and somebody that has you know, long been known for good writing, and he gives an opinion, and this list has gone pretty viral on social media. And the key caveat is that it's the top 10 quarterbacks entering the 2025 season. So number one on the list is Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think there are a lot of people out there that'll have major issues about that. I know after last year where Pat kind of was down a little bit at times, you can make the argument, but he comes in at number one. Number two is Lamar Jackson. Number three is Josh Allen. And number four is Joe Burrow. I don't think that surprises anyone. I continuously refer to them as the four horsemen, Max. You know that. If these are the guys that legitimately take their team over the top, no matter what the personnel around them is. They make guys around them better, and that is why, you know, they are viewed and revered the way that they are. They have special abilities, special traits that other guys simply don't have. They will their teams to victory. I think they are in their class of their own when it comes to quarterbacks. The rest of the list in the NFL, what I think we're learning right now is that it's very subjective to a lot of people. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got a love affair with a certain cat. And I've been guilty of this as well. So when I say this, don't think that I'm better than you. Mad Max, I don't know if you've ever heard my nickname for Justin Herbert, who comes in at number five on this list.
Is it if?
No, it's Baby Jesus is what I used to call him because he can walk on water. The arm talent that Justin Herbert has, and I know a lot of people are ticked off that he's fifth on this list, but Charles McDonald and anybody out there that actually watches the game can make an argument that Justin Herbert's the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. When it comes to arm talent, size, prototype, like he's got it, but he hasn't had the postseason success. That's the knock on him. He's put up big numbers in this league before. His rookie season was out of this world. Yeah, you know, think about how young Justin Herbert is as well. It's not like he's been around forever. He hasn't had the playoff success. Neither has Lamar Jackson, though. If you want to get real about this, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs stinks. Let's be real about it. I know there are people out there that are going to be, he's talking bad about Lamar. It's not that I'm talking bad about Lamar. I'm being objective about Lamar. See, when it comes to the four horsemen, they're graded on a different curve. We know they're regular season demons. We know what's going to happen from September to January. It's what happens in January, late January, in this postseason time is what we evaluate them on. Are you playing your best football when it matters the most? And for Lamar Jackson, who comes in at number two on this list, he hasn't. The same can be said for Justin Herbert. Same can be said for Dak Prescott, who comes in at number seven on this list. And I know a lot of people are up in arms about that. I see our own media members up in arms about this list. I'm kind of up in arms about it as well. But doing the Art of Solo Radio, I'll make both arguments. The big omission on this list to us that we care about, there's no Jaden Daniels. The list is as follows. I told you the four horsemen, 1, 2, 3, and 4, Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow. Fifth is Justin Herbert. Sixth is Matthew Stafford, who has continued to play well into the later stages of his career. Dak Prescott comes in at number seven, and I know that's going to rub a lot of people around here the wrong way. When Dak Prescott is healthy, the numbers that he has put up throughout his career during the regular season are, it's hard to stack a bunch of other guys' numbers up against his. Continuously throws for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. That's what he does. And, yes, he hasn't had the postseason success, but in the regular season he's been great. So there's the reason that he's in the top 10 of this list. I know a lot of people can't stand that. This is where it gets controversial a little bit. Geno Smith comes in at number 8. If you have followed Geno Smith since he has had his career renaissance and played the couple of seasons he played in Seattle, he is a guy that's routinely thrown for 4,000 yards. He's been extremely accurate. He's had high completion percentages. I know he's not. It's a controversial take, is what I will say, that Charles McDonald's putting him in the top 10. But I see it because Geno Smith's got arm talent. Geno Smith can push the football down the field. He completed 70% of his passes last year. Like, Geno Smith played well and has played well for Seattle last year. Last year in Seattle was probably the worst year he's had with that bunch. But the years prior, we've seen them in the playoffs. We've seen him play well. So the list is subjective, like I say. Jordan Love comes in at number 9. You can make an argument that he's a cat that has inconsistency issues, right? Where he plays well in spurts but not consistently. I think that's the big knock on him. Turnovers has really been the Achilles heel of Jordan Love. I know Packer fans out there get nauseous when you think about some of the boneheaded interceptions he threw this past season. And then at number 10 is C.J. Stroud, who went through what most NFL pundits are considering and defining as a sophomore slump. I guess you could call it that. But he threw for 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks. Like, that's sophomore slump, I guess, relative to what his rookie season was. But he still, I thought, played well at times last year. And the environment around C.J. Stroud really, to me, was the sole reason why he was not able to perform at the level we saw in his rookie season. But I do think he is still should be recognized as one of the top 10 quarterbacks in this league, or one of the top quarterbacks in this league. Just how the receiver list is subjective, I think the quarterback list is the same way. Because I don't know if you guys realize it or not, we're lucky. I say it in basketball all the time, and people get angry. They're in the golden age of their talent era with guys like Giannis, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, guys that would have dominated in any era. I think you're seeing the same thing right now in the National Football League with the quarterback talent that we have. It feels like everybody's got a guy. It feels like everyone's got a prolific passer. There are the elite ones, like I say, the four horsemen, but then the rest of the list gets subjective. Because I think you can make arguments for a lot of guys around the league. Caleb Williams is not on this list. I have a bold prediction. He'll be on this list next year. That's a guy I'm super high on going into next season. He'll be on the list next year. Like, there are Michael Penix, like that quarterback class that includes our guy here, Jaden Daniels. Like, I think there are going to be three or four guys that come out of that class that end up being in that conversation year in, year out. Are they top 10? Are they not? Jaden Daniels not being on this list, though, after the rookie season that he had, the greatest of all time, I have a problem with it. I do. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it because I understand it. It was 1 year of production for Jaden Daniels. Everybody on this list has had multiple years of production. That's not Jaden's fault. It's not his fault that last year was just his rookie year. He's got to prove it. I think next year he will be firmly into this list. He'll be sitting high. Maybe we're talking about him as entering the Four Horsemen Club or making it a Fantastic Five, however you want to describe it. Because I think when you think about his combination of arm talent, when it comes to ball placement, accuracy, throwing the deep ball, the intermediate stuff, there's not a throw he can't make. And then you saw it at times last year. And I always refer back to that Atlanta Falcons game where he strapped this team to his back and carried them to victory. He can run with the best of them. And it's not as flashy and elusive as Lamar Jackson, because our guy's California cool and everything he does is smooth, but he's effortless as a runner. He's effortless as a thrower. And I think the most important thing that we learned about him last year, and we're continuing to learn about it, I think he's got the right mental makeup to handle all of the success that's going to come his way, to handle all of the attention that's going to come his way. It's not going to change him. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, Max, he went on Instagram Live. Within 30 seconds, there were 9,000 people within the live.
I was one of those 9,000, yeah.
And he was like, whoa, there's a lot of people in here. Y'all have a blessed day. And left. The guy, he's a normal dude, and I think he just was blessed with the ability to play quarterback at an elite level in today's modern era. He's just, I admire everything that he does on and off the field. I think he's put himself in a really good position to lead this franchise forward for a long time. And I think he's endeared himself to this fan base in a way that feels authentic and sustainable. Because I know we've had this before with other quarterbacks. We fall in love with quarterbacks. I mean, we do it more than, I feel like, any fan base ever. I mean, I fell in love with Taylor Heinicke. I whisper that because it's not something I'm proud of. In fact, it was my introduction to you all. That's probably why all of you think the mean things that you think about me now. I was on the Taylor Heinicke bandwagon. We've been starving and begging for a guy to get behind. I think we finally have one. Moving forward, I think Washington continues to be in the conversation of the elite teams in the NFL because you have one of the elite quarterbacks. And I think that's the cool part about it. No matter what happens next year, and I know we've already put our, you know, conference championship expectations on them already, but it's something that, to me, is actually real and sustainable, not just some pipe dream. You can now go and stick your chest out at the bar when you and your buddies are, you know, throwing brewskis back and talking about your favorite NFL teams during the fall, because your team now, ladies and gentlemen, is a part of that mix. 301-230-0980 is the number. A lot more to get to. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell here on a Friday. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards coming up. We'll also take a spin around the National Football League, and I'll give some NFL predictions here as we're in the dead period of the NFL offseason. We're content searching. There's a lot to get to. I wonder, Max, how interested do you think the people would be in hearing about Angel Reese? Is that
from you? I'm sure people would love it.
I'm sure people would love that. We'll get into that as well. When we come back, though, my insight that I picked up this past week about the Washington Wizards and their plans coming up in next week's NBA draft. That's next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Happy Friday from our nation's capital. You're tapped into the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell, taking your calls at 301-230-0980. We'll talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards as we ease our way into this 2 o'clock hour. The NBA draft is next week, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt. There have been a lot of rumors about the Washington Wizards, and I've talked to some folks. Yes, I have. And I see all your smart, slick tweets out there. You can get at me at NELL_BTP to continue sending me those smart, slick tweets that you all like to send. Yes, I talk to people. I'm at Cap One Arena during the basketball season pretty often, probably more than anybody in Odyssey, D.C., if we're being frank. And when you put yourself in situations, you build relationships. This is what anybody would do. Just because it's me and you all look at me as some sort of hot take animal, I also have some decorum about me as well. And I was able to pick some things up over the past 48 hours that'll knock you all socks off. We'll get to that as we get into the 2 o'clock hour. I want to get into the finals, though. Last night was, honestly, a performance that I expected, because you can't fake desperation in the NBA postseason. When your back's against the wall, when you're at home facing elimination, you are going to get the absolute best out of everyone. And on the flip side, for Oklahoma City, a team that was looking to close this thing out, we talk about it routinely, they're a young team. And last night they looked like a young team in a closeout situation. But credit to the Indiana Pacers. And it was, as Max said it in the trending alert, it was a total team effort from Indiana last night. Nobody scored more than 20 points last night for Indy. Obi Toppin was the high man off the pine. And to see what he has done in his career, he is one of those examples to me of, if you work at it, if you put faith, good effort, put forth good effort, you can be whatever you want to be when you're 6'10 and can jump out of the gym. He has turned himself into a bona fide knockdown shooter. 4 3-pointers from him last night. He gives them effort on the defensive end, being able to guard and switch on the perimeter. I mean, to see him do it against the Knicks was obviously cool because that's the team that drafted him. But this is real for Obi Toppin. They have a legit team, and I think that is what irks some of the people that have so much to say about this era of basketball. They don't really have one budding star. And I know people put Tyrese Halliburton in that class. I say he's got the flair for the dramatics. I wouldn't say he is a superstar, though. And maybe that's just me still hating and not understanding what he's done in this postseason. We can argue and agree to disagree. But when I'm listing my top 5 point guards, I don't think I'm putting Tyrese Halliburton in it right now. Maybe that's a controversial take. But that's not the point here. The point is they have played well all postseason together. They're well coached. They defend at a high level. And they play for one another. That's been the most exciting thing about watching them, is you never really know who's going to be the guy. And last night it was Obi Toppin catching fire from 3. T.J. McConnell's been huge in this series. There's the meme going around. This is where people got to just chill out. There's the meme going around of Pascal Siakam in the pregame huddle, kind of letting his eyes roll to the back of his head. And people are saying that that was the reason that they won. It was a very freaky thing to watch. Max, I'm not sure if you saw it. It was a super freaky thing to watch. But nonetheless,
he was communing with the spirits, Leno.
It was nasty work. It was. He played well, double-double, 5 offensive rebounds, was a plus 13 on the night, defended well, hit big-time shots. On the flip side for OKC, they get into these spurts. And by the way, they play well defensively. They only gave up 108 points, right? Like, it's not like it was a horrendous defensive effort from OKC. They held Indiana to 41% from the field. So, like, their number one attribute continued to remain true. The difference was you saw their offense really struggle last night. From a shot selection standpoint, from a rhythm touch standpoint, they were just missing. And it looked like a group that felt the pressures of trying to close out an NBA Finals on the road in a Game 6. And here's the thing about it. As dire as last night was for OKC, as bad as things must have felt for them, as they're getting spanked at points during this game, as the Pacers led by as many as 31, as they're getting whooped in the back of their mind, you know what they're thinking? Well, at least we get to close it out on our home floor. How are you not thinking that? Is that not the thought of the thought process of the general public right now? Am I reading the room correctly when it comes to how people feel about this NBA Finals? I expected Indy to win last night, like I said, to start the segment. Their backs were against the wall. They're at home. Lance Stephenson's in the crowd. Everybody who's ever been important in the state of Indiana was in the crowd. And you just felt the vibes for the Pacers last night, man. It was unchy for OKC. Rims was tight. They were turning the ball over. It was tough sledding for that group. First quarter was good. But in that second quarter, they opened things up. And that's really when this basketball game changed. Game 7 coming up on a Sunday. How do you feel about Game 7 being on a Sunday, people? Is that something that rubs you the wrong way? I know this is a show that does a lot of complaining and moaning and groaning about scheduling. Does 5 o'clock, or excuse me, my computer, let me...
You're on West Coast time.
I was about to say, I'm on West Coast time on my computer here. No, being played on a Sunday, does it bother you? Is it something that you want on a Friday night or a Saturday night, or does it feel like it's just right?
No, I'd like to talk about it for an hour the next morning. Yeah. to help kill a segment or two. So, no, I love it being on Sunday night, brother.
No, I definitely do as well. I like OKC. So does the sports books. They're 7.5-point favorites going into this Game 7.
Interesting, because Kevin and I were kind of talking about it. Uh-huh. That is the lowest spread that OKC has gotten at home this finals. So it's
a little recency bias, maybe, because of what happened last night. They beat the hell out of them last night, man.
It mollywopped them. It was impressive.
You just could see the sense of urgency. The dunk from Pascal Siakam.
Monstrous.
Was just ridiculous. I mean, it was a big game feel. And I don't know how much you guys have talked about this, but I've come to the defense of Doris Burke because I think she's awesome.
Mm.
The commentating crew has been excellent throughout these finals, all Ooh. Three of them. I've liked it.
Interesting.
I know they've been under the microscope and there's been a lot of scrutiny. I just think, and I'm going to say something controversial here.
Shocker.
I think in our society, and I'm being honest about this, there is a bias towards male broadcasters, 100%. It is much more difficult to get respect as a female analyst, a female broadcaster in today's day and age. And I think, unfortunately, as wrong as it is, that is what Doris Burke falls victim to. Because I think she does an excellent job. She explains the game down to the nuts and bolts to where the casualist of NBA fan can understand it. And I appreciate that about her. I think she's articulate, as all of them are. Of course, that's a prereq. But, like, I think she does a great job. And I know that you were like, oh, Max, what have you thought about?
Well, it's not my, because like I haven't really been paying attention that crazy closely. Like, okay. I'm not gonna go out on a limb and call for people's jobs like I've seen on Twitter for Doris Burke or even Mike Breen has been getting shamed.
Well, anybody, first of all, anybody calling for Mike Breen, your opinion,
you're a Luddite.
Yeah, your opinion when it comes to broadcasting, it's not
invalid.
Invalid.
Yeah, Kevin and I have kind of talked about it a little bit though. Kevin's not a crazy big fan of how Doris Burke's been performing the past or for the finals or this playoff run. And I know there were some things that were going around. I think Yahoo or somebody mm-hmm. Put out like how you know, no one's seat is safe on the NBA Finals crew or something like that.
Andrew Marchand and The Athletic put that mm-hmm. out. Yeah.
Yeah, and Kevin's kind of largely agreed with people being on the hot seat like that. Because, I mean, we just...
People want these jobs, though. That's the other thing that's got to be understood, too. And I don't know if our listening audience thinks that deep into what we do. People want these jobs. They're highly sought after. They're well paid. They're life-changing for a lot of these folks.
Yeah, because you're sitting there during the finals, and you're like, damn, I could do that.
You know? And what's happened and what a lot of people are complaining about specifically with ESPN's NBA coverage is they have taken away the common guy and made it as if only athletes can comment mm-hmm. and analyze the game. And I understand people's frustration with that. Because, look, there are plenty of guys that I listen to, and I don't listen to because I think that they played the game well and that they were smart playing the game. I listen to them because I know that they know their stuff. Like, if you know your stuff, you know your stuff is kind of how I look at it. The game is teachable.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, dude, we got people who call in all the time who I'm like, you know ball.
Yeah, you know, like it just is what it is. But it's very interesting. I will say this, having, for football specifically, because that's the sport that I played the furthest at, there are certain intricacies and certain details and nuance that you get from playing that someone, if they haven't played, will never understand.
Sure.
So, like the grueling grind of being an 18-year-old waking up at 4:30 in the morning to go to workouts and be through a college training camp and be in meetings all day and being around these group of guys that some people you don't like, some people you like, some people are talking to the girl you're trying to talk to. It's a mess.
If you didn't,
people don't get it.
If you didn't live through 2-a-days in high school, I probably don't trust you.
Honestly, and we know the rules have changed here recently, so.
True.
Here we go. A lot more to get to. 301-230-0980 is the number. Youngest in charge, Lynnell Willingham, sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up the 4 o'clock. Josh Robbins of The Athletic got the chance to catch up with him recently. We'll play some of that conversation for you as we get into the Washington Wizards coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Some rumors surrounding the D.C. family, including some rumors that I was even throwing out into the ether. We'll get to all that and more coming up next here on the Team 980. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, we will talk about the Washington Wizards. I have some news regarding their NBA draft plans. We'll empty out my Wizards NBA draft notebook coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, going to talk a little bit more about the Washington Commanders. John Keim of ESPN put out a piece a couple of days ago, and he gave some interesting nuggets and numbers on the Commanders' run defense and why we should be confident that that group, that specific issue, will be solved and improved next year. So we'll get to that coming up as well. Right now, though, I'm going to take some calls at 301-230-0980. Our guy Mike in Bowie wants to talk about the finals. Mike, what you got for us, man?
It's kind of more about the teams when you're talking about, like, okay. Indiana and, like, where they're at, and they're not, like, an all-star team. I was thinking about that when you're talking about it, and I caught in a couple weeks ago about the draft, where the Wizards are at in respect to other teams. And I'm just kind of, like, real proud of what the city, the state, you know, that whole Indiana, you know, franchise. And also, yeah. too, when you look at the other teams like Portland, the Jazz, like teams that are in the West that are in a harder bracket that are consistently good because they don't draft all stars, you know? And I'm like frustrated because I caught in, like, I don't like, the fact that the mentality of, the general manager of the Wizards to draft someone and say, hey, we're going to suck for a lot of years, get the number one picks, and this is how we're going to compete. And the fans.
You're against the idea of tanking. And I think that's the interesting thing about Indiana, like, in particular.
Anyone,
yeah.
Well, real quick, anyone, right, can – my son who's 12 and plays basketball, or, like, anyone can just lose and then draft number one in the top five picks and build a franchise that way. But, you know, and also Golden State, when they drafted Curry, that's probably, you know, in the top five most unique – maybe top 10 most unique players in the history of the game. I see that more as luck than anything else, that it's not a model to be a general manager and run a franchise off of. I would like to see Wizards start drafting like that. I'm not worried about the first or the second. You know, I've seen the number one pick, and, like, okay, that's good, but I bet you there's some other people in the draft. Draft, develop, don't suck, don't be afraid. Don't say we're not going to be competitive till 2027. You know, so
try to go
better.
Get it. I get it.
DMV. You know what I mean? Change the name while you're at it. I don't do something. I don't like that Wizard either.
The Wizards name is interesting. Mike, I appreciate the call, as always, man. Enjoy your weekend. That's the one thing that's surprising about you all, and I'm going on a tangent here. Be warned. You all complain like hell about the Commander's name and the Washington football name. Yet I hear no, it's rare, I guess. I'm not going to say nobody, but it's rare that I get a call complaining about the stupid Wizards name. And I'm going to call it the stupid Wizards name because it is a name that makes zero sense relative to the city, relative to the franchise. What is G-Wiz?
It makes less sense, especially when you just take like 2 seconds to think about what a better name for around here would be. The Washington Monuments is right there.
It's right there. The Generals. It's a layup. It really is. And they came up with Wizards. Apparently, you all came up with Wizards because that was voted on. And that's why I blame the older demographic. You all think you're so much smarter than us, yet you chose the name Wizards. You should ruin it. 301-230-0980 is the number. When we get into this 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the Washington Wizards and what their plans are for the draft and really where things stand when it comes to this rebuild. I had an interesting conversation the end of spring training for the Washington Nationals. And it was me and Lil Top, as you all will be introduced to him soon, Ben Strober. He asked me, or I asked him the question of, whose rebuild is in a better spot, the Wizards or the Nats? And before the season started, right at the end of spring training, the answer was the Nats to him. And then I think I asked Ryan the same question. He said the Nats. I think the Wizards rebuild's in a better spot than the Nats right now. The Nets reek of incompetency. The Wizards don't. Straight up is how I'm going to put it. And I get it. We're still in the honeymoon phase of Will Dawkins and Mike Winger and Travis Schlenk. Bilal Coulibaly all of a sudden starting to get, you know, scrutinized more on social media when I read things because he was the first round pick of this regime. Tread lightly when it comes to the plan of the Washington Wizards because I think they understand completely what they're doing. They're in the driver's seat. And I think this draft coming up next week, by the time it's all said and done, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better about the Washington Wizards than what maybe you do right now. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. Lynette Willingham sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell, here on a Friday afternoon as we take you around the nation's capital. A lot more to get to, as I've been teasing. Coming up next, my insider information, my inside scoop on the Washington Wizards draft plans. Next, here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.